Everybody, Merry Christmas and welcome to Section 314 Podcast. My name is Sam. I'll be your host. With me, as always, is my co-host, Maggie. And today we got a special guest, Red Wings fan, Aaron. He's joining us today going over the Red Wings Blues game 4-0 final. And now, you know, Christmas was here. Christmas has come. I hope you guys, did you guys get anything good for Christmas this year, Maggie?
I worked, so, you know, I moved to Florida and I don't have family down here, so I'm actually traveling next week for Christmas, so I can let you know next week.
Yeah, and you got that Blues game coming up too, so that'll be good.
Oh, yeah.
Aaron, did you get anything good for Christmas?
I got a picture mouse pad of my son and I from Halloween when we dressed up as, he dressed up as Ellie Octopus, actually, and I just dressed up as a Red Wings player, so that's pretty sick.
Nice. Love it. Being a football fan, I dressed up as the Saints old coach Sean Payton 1 year with like the headset and his visor and all that. I did that 1 year.
Iconic.
So the Blues, you know, like I said, you know, we've had a busy December schedule and we got done with that 3-game road trip, ending it with a 4-0 whopping win against the Detroit Red Wings.
Don't remind me.
And what was it? Dylan Holloway got a hat trick. Texier got on the board. And it just seemed to me from what I saw, we had weird losses in that road trip. And now we come out against Detroit and we're moving the puck well. I think we're moving really well in the open spaces to find each other and, you know, make plays. And I think that's something we've been lacking on that road trip and just kind of in general the last few weeks, is just being able to skate into that open space. You know, that's part of how you become successful, is like that's where things start to get rolling when you get those shots off, when you get those goals. It's because your players are moving into the right spaces that they need to be in. They're just kind of being there before the puck is, and that's what's going to get things going. And that's what happened against the Red Wings, and we got the ball rolling here. And right now, Aaron, the Red Wings are sitting at 30 points, second to last place in the Atlantic Division. So, what do you have to say so far for the Red Wings season?
Throw all the defensemen except for Seider into the sun, especially Petrie. I don't know how that man still has a job.
Yeah, he may not next season. He might be a trade deadline person.
I
too.
Hope so. Just dump the contract somewhere, please.
In breaking news, the Red Wings just did fire their head coach, who was the former San Jose Sharks coach. You know, now he moved on to the Red Wings. And now, I believe today, or if you're listening to this yesterday, you know, if you're listening to this, you know, the following day, it's yesterday. Yeah, the Detroit Red Wings have fired their head coach. And I think you said before that this team, they just, you know, they got decent players on their team. It's just they can't fire on all cylinders right now.
Yeah, and nobody's communicating. They're in a rut, like working together.
Yeah, I said in the last podcast, I think randomly, because we were discussing the upcoming game, and I was like, Detroit really has a good team. They really have all, like, they have four forward lines that are good. Like, there's not really anybody lacking. It just seems like they can't put anything together. I mean, you got the craziest players playing right now together. You got Comfort Cop, DeBrinket, the Cat, Kane, Larkin, Rasmussen, Raymond, Tarasenko. Like, nobody on this is bad at all. I mean, they should be a lot of fun to watch, and I mean, they're not right now.
I'm not having any fun right now watching them.
Zero fun. Zero fun.
And if you're, you know, if you're a Red Wings fan and you're listening to this podcast, it's like you look at the division, and I'm not, you know, I'm not a Red Wings fan, but I'm looking at this division as a hockey fan, and it just doesn't seem like they're obviously the Red Wings haven't been having a good start to their season. We're, you know, we're starting to approach kind of the halfway mark of the season of 82 games, and you know, you got the Panthers on the top of the Atlantic. You know, they're obviously a great team.
No Maple Leafs there.
Yeah, Maple Leafs are playing good. Bruins doing good. Lightning, they're good. But then you get the Senators and Canadiens after that, and that's kind of, it's like the first four teams, you know, are kind of a, you know, they're threatening. They're good teams. But then like after that, it's, you know, it's up for grabs for the Red Wings to, with the talent that they have, to, you know, start things up, do whatever it is they need to do, and start putting themselves in a position, you know, in January and start making a run for that playoff spot, or maybe do something amongst the trade deadline. I don't know. But of course, you see the Toronto Maple Leafs, you know, like that's like an automatic exit in the playoffs. So, you know, that they don't really count. So you can kind of scratch them off the list.
Sorry, Leafs fans.
Take the first exit on the right.
Yeah, that's crazy. Red Wings are 28th in the whole league. You got the Blues at 20th. You got Detroit 9 spots out of a wild card. So if they're looking... Yeah, I mean, just like we said, with that roster, it is just insane. And we were talking about it earlier about how Nashville is kind of going through the same thing. Nashville, this summer when I was watching or listening to free agency, and the amount of players that Nashville just kept getting and the names that they were getting, I was like, holy shit. Nashville is going to be first. Like, they're going to be first in the Central. I was like, there's no doubt about it, that just the players that they kept getting there, it was Nashville I was afraid of. And now that I'm seeing as the season goes on, they are 29th and they have not, they just haven't put it together. I don't know. I'm hopeful that both Detroit and Nashville, just because those players that are playing on the same team, like you want to see them succeed and be like a superpower team, like, you know, like Colorado has really been for a couple of years, but you just wanted to see it click. I mean, like, even as a hockey fan, like I was saying, I wanted to see the Red Wings click. All those players are so good, and that would just be cool to see. It'd be like an all-star team or something, you know, with all those big names. So hopefully they have that click moment this season, earlier the better. So
yes. Yeah, you mentioned, you know, being a seller at the deadline. I feel like there's gonna be a lot of turnover. In the circles that I'm in on, like, Twitter and all that, like, I'm seeing a lot of, you know, Kane's probably gonna be on the trade block just because, you know, of how insane he is. They're probably going to want to try and get something out of him instead of just letting him walk at the end of the season. I mean, you can probably get at least a couple seconds for him, if not another first.
Yeah, and at this point, it's like he's on his decline, I would say. So it's like the longer you wait, it's you're not going to get as much money. You're not going to get as much pick. So it's like now is the time to make the move before his value gets lower and lower and, you know, so on.
And there's a couple guys on the team that I feel like are in that same boat as far as, you know, get rid of them now before it's so glaringly obvious how useless they are.
The thing is, though, like with that and the trade deadline is like they could be like big names, but they're playing like crap right now. Mm-hmm. If they want to get, I don't know, like if I'm in the playoffs or I'm getting to the playoffs, whatever, and I want to win a cup, I obviously am going to try and play my butt off so I can get off this team and get to a team in the playoffs that can win a cup. I mean, that's basically like Patrick Kane could do that for sure. Tarasenko was traded, and then what? He was traded to Ottawa and then literally traded to Florida, won a cup, and then traded to Detroit. So he's just kind of like cup hopping in a way.
Yeah.
But
I feel like Detroit's in the same boat that the Lions were up until, what, a year and a half, 2 years ago now? Where, like, I hope they get to that point where people go from, shit, I got traded to Detroit, to, hey, agent, get me a deal that gets me to Detroit. I just don't feel like they're anywhere close to that yet.
I think I don't know. Like, Yzerman, like, is definitely, like, bringing people there and, like, drafting good people. I mean, a big one to an example, I know it's not a good example right now just because he's not playing, but Ville Husso, when the Red Wings signed him, he was literally coming off, like, his hottest season with the Blues, and, like, him and Bennington were, like, fighting for position, so he left, and I was so bummed about that just because, I mean, he earned a payday. But, I mean, you also are going to have, like, you know, you're not going to have great seasons. There's so many good goalies that are not playing in the NHL right now. They're in the minor leagues. Like, if you look at, like, fantasy rosters and stuff, so many names that were, like, tearing it up a couple years ago are in the AHL, you know? So maybe it's just, like, a little kick in the ass to get them going. But I'm sure we'll see those names soon. But I would say, I mean, Tarasenko signed to the Red Wings.
I was excited when they signed him.
Yeah, I was for sure happy he signed with Detroit. You know, I was sad to see him leave the Panthers because, you know, he just won a cup and he's definitely my favorite NHL player. And I was like, you know, I kind of looked at Detroit and I was like, okay, I think this team could, you know, be, you know, a contender in the next few years or so with what they got or what they could have, et cetera, et cetera. And then just like now this year, just like totally fell apart. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what happened?
I don't understand how they go from being 1 point out of the playoffs and getting knocked out because
I remember Flyers that.
Don't know how to play hockey.
Oh my God, I saw that. I was like, wow, your season ends just because of that. That's terrible. That's just, you know, a lesson to the players where it's like, that's where you got to handle your business. Like,
exactly. In other games. That's where you on those OT losses. Losing streak.
Yeah, those will kill you. Those weird overtime losses where you should have won or, you know, you let them take it overtime and then you lose in overtime. Like, that's, you know, those are those tight games where you got to handle your business and acquire points, especially like when you come to, you know, right now is like the perfect time. You know, you come to late December, you're getting into January. That's when the time where you got to make sure you fight for those points because they're going to start mattering, you know, real quick. You know, the trade deadline coming up and then you can't do anything else. And all that's left is, you know, making sure you find a place for the playoffs for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely think we would see by like February is kind of where beginning middle February is where you're going to start seeing teams like pushing for playoffs or I mean, even into the new year, they really need to be pushing. But for like really pushing will be about then. And then we'll know which teams are going to be selling at the trade deadline. Which I can't wait for. I think of it as a holiday, even though all these players get traded and then I get upset. So I still like it though.
The trade deadline gives me so much anxiety when you don't have a good team. So it's like, all right, what good pieces are we going to get rid of to hopefully be better at a later date?
Yeah. And
like, draft picks are great, but like, that's the thing about becoming like I've only been into hockey in the last couple of years. And, you know, I've always been into football. So it's like, I'm not used to the whole, you know, minor league thing, like in baseball and hockey, where you draft these guys and then they spend 3-4 years in the minor leagues before they come up. Whereas football, it's basically like you draft somebody and, oh, they're probably going to be playing in a year, if not less.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Hockey's tough. We've got a lot of guys in the pipeline and it's just move them up, you know?
Yeah, I know. That's kind of how the Blues are, too. The Blues actually had the World Juniors are going on right now, and the Blues have the most prospects in the tournament.
Nine.
So
that's pretty sick.
We're waiting for these guys to come up and shred, for sure.
Did you guys see that ASP got a hat trick for Sweden today?
Yeah, I saw. I was watching that game.
That was pretty sweet.
I saw that. I was like, that's the only thing going for the Red Wings right now.
they have all these good pieces all over the place. Just none of them are on the roster doing the right thing.
Yeah, I believe we got Otto Stenberg on the Blues for Sweden right now. Dalibor Dvorsky on Slovakia. He looked really good today. What about the Red Wings? Do you know what? How many prospects you got in the tournament this year?
I know of three for sure. We got ASP for Sweden, and then Augustine, and can't remember the other one, but the other goalie that they've got are both in for USA for tenders. So that's the only thing I know about off the top of my head.
Yeah, the game against Germany today, it was kind of getting close in like the second period, and then like once the third started, then it just spiraled out of control, and USA just ran away with it.
Yeah. I haven't had a chance to watch a lot of the World Juniors this year, but we went to a couple of the games last year, the Summer Showcase, and that was pretty sick.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, I'm going to try and tune in to the World Juniors here shortly. I just haven't, you know, I did work yesterday, so it wasn't like I was off, but I was going to say getting back into the swing of working. No, I definitely zoned out. I just worked my booty off today, but I did see the scores. I was really, the 10-4, that's just boring. Sorry.
Yeah, it's but not still. Fun when a team's just blowing another team out of the water like that.
Unless it was like USA Canada and USA was winning, that would have been cool. Yeah. But like, yeah.
So Maggie, this gift. I want to shout out to my cousin for giving me this microphone as a gift for Christmas. But I got some out of town relatives from Mississippi. They're going to the Blues game tomorrow, and for some of them, it'll be their first hockey game ever. But they actually said that they've seen Blues fans around like their town in Mississippi. So they're going, they're all, you know, they came up from Mississippi for Christmas. You know, they're staying at, you know, in town at an Airbnb because, you know, they have a big family. And they're all going to the Blues game tomorrow night against Nashville Predators. 7 o'clock puck drop. It's going to be a great game. What do you have to say to them, you know, to get ready for this game against the Predators? Should we know about the Predators? What should they know about going to their first Blues game? What advice do you got for them?
I definitely will say just enjoy it. I remember going to my first Blues game a couple years ago, and right off the bat, there was a fight at center ice, and I was like, holy crap, this is so cool. But I think also, like, just enjoy that moment, enjoy the atmosphere. I think a hockey crowd is so much different than anything else, especially just being in that small space with everybody. Kind of gives me the chills and excites me for the next game. But, you know, I'm hoping the Blues can get a big W tomorrow, especially with Ryan O'Reilly coming back from the Nashville Predators. And us talking about how the Preds have so many pieces, they just are not fitting together. It kind of sounds like they're getting off to a better start in December. But let's see. Nashville's 4-5-1 in their last 10 games. Blues are 4-4-2 in their last 10. So, yeah, it sounds like Nashville's kind of picking it up from what they were playing. It should be a good game. Usually those games are kind of rivalry, and they're pretty rowdy and loud. So, I don't know, just enjoy the moment, have fun, get some drinks, get some popcorn, and cheer and yell and scream and whatever and dance and just enjoy it.
Yeah, for sure. It's a Friday night. It's right after Christmas. You know, it's heading into the weekend. Everybody, you know, people will be off work, all that. So it's definitely going to be a pretty filled building. I love the new intro video they have for Meet Me in St. Louis. I think that was so cool how they did that. And I believe they used like an orchestra for Lindenwood for that, I think. Awesome. So that's a really, you know, that's a really motivating video. It really hypes you up. They're, you know, my cousins, you know, they're a rowdy bunch. They love their college football. You know, they love, you know, having a good time, great people, down to earth. And I think they're just going to have a great time. It's very, you know, hockey is a very fast paced, upbeat atmosphere. And I think that's going to go perfect for them. So, I say just to them, you know, when you guys listen to this, just go down, get down there early for happy hour at the Budweiser Beer Garden. Have a couple of drinks, you know, enjoy the music, enjoy the warm-ups. And just enjoy the experience itself, because I think it's a fun atmosphere, and the people of St. Louis, you know, will just pretty much treat you like family once you get down there. And I think you guys are gonna have a great time. So just have fun with it, and hopefully we come up with the win.
Yeah, I definitely kind of go back to like the fans treating people like family. Like I had mentioned the other day, I don't think I have to go back to Florida Panthers Arena because I didn't feel that welcome. I also have a friend who's a bartender here, and he's a big Bruins fan, and I had a Blues hat on the other night, and he said, Blues fans are super nice. Literally have like so many manners and like all this stuff. And I was like, I can't tell if you're being a smartass right now because you're a Bruins fan and we beat you in the Stanley Cup. He's like, no, I was at game 7 when the Blues won. And I talked to so many Blues fans like at the bar afterward, at the game. They were just so nice, like just hanging out. Like it didn't matter who the team was or like what was at stake. Game 7 of the Stanley Cup, like whatever. You don't hate each other's guts. I doubt that. So I definitely have heard that a lot about Blues fans. I didn't feel that way in Florida about Florida Panther fans. So they suck. What about Red Wings fans? Are they super nice or what?
I think so, yeah. I mean, the games I've been to, it's a blast. You know, it was a blast walking out of that Avs game afterwards. And you just hear through the streets of Detroit, you know, it's like a half-mile walk from LCA to, like, the parking structure that we were in. And you just hear through the streets the Let's Go Red Wings chants, and everybody's hyped up and everything. And, I mean, that was pretty awesome. And even after the game that they lost, like, people were still, you know, not angry or anything like that. Just, oh, man, that sucks. Go home and live the rest of your life kind of thing. It was a good atmosphere either way. So yeah.
That's good.
I like to think that visiting fans have a good time in Detroit.
What, so, you know, coming into the new year, trade deadline, you know, coming up not too far away, what do the Red Wings need to do? You know, if you're a Red Wings fan listening to this, what do the Red Wings need to do right now? Like management, if you're GM, like what do you need to do right now to say, hey, let's do X, Y, and Z. That way we can start working our way towards being a contender, get ourselves back into a playoff spot. For, you know, the amount of talent we got on this team right now.
Yeah, I definitely think a new head coach should help a lot. I mean, just something to get a fire lit up under him. I love Dylan Larkin. He's always been, you know, one of my favorite players, you know, hometown kid playing for his favorite team growing up kind of thing. But, I mean, I think he's a good leader. I don't know if he's the captain they need right now. I think maybe need to look at, you know, if somebody else needs to wear the C, because obviously the leadership's just not doing what it needs to do to get these young guys moving, lift these young guys up, and keep the veterans, you know, moving at the pace that they need to be moving, you know? I mean, they've given the A to Raymond, and he's doing all right, but I haven't seen much of anything from the leadership, you know? So I think they need to make some changes there. Honestly.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
The Blues kind of went through that last year when they fired Berube. People were giving a lot of backlash to Braden Schenn, who's our captain, and they were like, he's not leading at all. He's literally not doing his job. Like, why is he our captain? Like, what's he going to do? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there was just kind of a bunch of drama with the Blues firing the coach and then like that, and then stuff with like Kyrou not playing to how people wanted him to play. So there was just like a bunch of things going on. And I think I remember watching one interview after a game where like Braden Schenn was just like, you watch the game, so why do I need to explain it? Basically, you know, like so mad, upset, and I feel like things started getting a bit better. It sounds like, you know, somebody spoke up in the room and things did kind of take off and get better. I mean, they didn't make the playoffs, but still, the season did turn around. So maybe, you know, I don't know, maybe somebody random in that room needs to get them going.
Yeah, it's like, at the time, it's like, it's, you know, we love these players. We love these guys, you know, as people outside the rink. And what they do for St. Louis and whatever, and we love them, we support them. But at the, you know, there's also times where it's like, there's got to be some accountability, you know, to what you're doing, whether you're the president, whether you're GM, whether you're the team owner, whether you're the captain, whatever. You know, it's like, you know, for what you're doing, if there's nothing being done about, you know, your spot or what you're, you know, in control of, then, you know, there's got to be accountability and there's got to be something done about it. Because, you know, there's a high, you know, it's the National Hockey League, and, you know, it's a very competitive, you know, competitive league right now. It's a business. You know, we're fighting for championships here year after year. Obviously, it's very hard to accomplish that. But like I said, it's highly competitive. And, you know, when you're not doing the job you're already expected to be doing, then people are going to be asking questions.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's not like every single team is going to make it to the playoffs, obviously, but you got to still show that you're making the steps in that direction and fighting for it rather than, you know, coming up short halfway through the season every year.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm like huge on players earning their contract. I've said this in multiple podcasts. Like, did I think that Kyrou was a 8 point whatever when he signed it? No. Did I think that last year? No. And then he got a bunch of backlash from fans because they were just tired of, you know, him not really caring and just kind of doing his thing. And I'll say, like, I'm a Kyrou hater. I've said that, and I said it on Twitter. I know I responded to Sam the other day when Kyrou had a really good game. I said, I will be quiet. I won't be quiet. And so I think this year he's really turned it around, and I've really been enjoying and I've been noticing him a lot on the ice this year.
And that's the thing, you know, these players, they, you know, they realize that, you know, there's accountability for your actions and stuff like that. And then when you turn it around and you say, listen, this is what I can do. And you go around and you turn around and you show them that, you know, you prove them wrong, one, and two, you know, you're playing well, and three, it feels good. Like, and from there, your value is going to go up. So, you know, if you ever need to be traded or what have you, or you're going to, you know, re-sign a new contract and get an extension or whatever, if you're playing well, you know, you're going to get more money. So it's just like, you know, it's you know, it's simple thinking.
Yeah, but sometimes they get those contracts and then they're just like, settle.
Right,
and exactly. And then that's, like, once people are like, no, come on, keep going. We know your potential. Like, you are way better than what you're showing us for 50 games of the season. You should be the leading scorer for the team, you know, like, it's crazy.
Perfect example for sports fans. I know this is not hockey because right off the top of my head, I could not think of one. If you guys think of one, let me know. But the perfect example of that we're talking about, Michael Thomas and the New Orleans Saints. Dude,
oh,
just like,
my God.
Recently just signed this huge contract, and then he gets this weird toe injury and never shows up again.
Yeah.
And then
that's why they don't want to pay running backs. I mean, it's the same deal. Every year it seems like the running back signs an extension and then gets hurt or doesn't do the production that they were doing to get the initial contract.
And it's like, we've had NHL players in the history of the game have heart attacks on the bench. They go to the locker room and then they come back in the next period and they start playing again. Like, come on,
dude.
I miss
that kind of grit.
Yeah, we've actually seen that in a Blues game too. That was
yep,
crazy.
Jay Bomeister.
J-Bo.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, even with Holloway, he got literally like drilled in the neck, like in the side of the neck by a puck, and like almost passed out on the bench because they thought it hit something. And then the next day he showed up to the rink wanting to play in the game, and he had like a hockey puck indent, like bruise on his neck. So it's like,
if you're watching the video, you can clearly see the mark.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So before we get out of here, do you have anything else to add for Red Wings fans or the franchise or the team, you know, heading into the new year?
Go win a fucking game. Please, for
please.
The love of God. Make
please,
me want
one.
To turn on the game.
We can't be Buffalo Sabres material right now. We just can't afford that.
I'm sick of being that team that other teams see on their schedule for that week and like, sweet, that's a guaranteed win. Like, I hate that.
That's valid.
Just
Red Wings
wanting to watch hockey sucks.
Yeah, especially when you love it.
Oh
Red Wings have a tough tough schedule coming up too. I was looking
at it. I'm not excited
at
all.
Oh gosh.
I'm not excited at all.
I think they got Toronto tomorrow. They have the Caps this weekend. And then I think, I don't know who on Monday, but it, like the next three games were going to be, oh, Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh's been pretty good. But yeah, I was like, the next couple games are going to be tough for them.
Maggie, you got anything else before we head out of here?
I just want to say Merry Christmas to everybody. I hope they had a great holiday. Aaron, thank you so much for joining us and talking about the Red Wings. We will have you on soon to talk about the Lions.
Hell yeah, I'm here for it. Appreciate you guys having me on. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you for joining. So we got Nashville Predators tomorrow night. Then we got the Buffalo Sabres at home on Sunday, 2 p.m. puck drop at Price Center. And then we're off to Chicago. We're off to Chicago against the Blackhawks
Buffalo
for the NHL
Sabres.
Winter Classic.
Buffalo Sabres game. I'm not sure about that one, Sam, since it's a 2 p.m. start.
It's a 2 p.m. start, and it's against, like, the worst team in the league, so we already can kind of formulate what's going to happen. If history repeats itself,
shit the bed.
It just win the Winter Classic. That's all I ask for.
Yeah, and you'll be going there here in a week, less than a week.
Yeah, flying up to Chicago, January, Monday the 30th, getting there in like the late afternoon, evening, and meeting up with some friends, some family for the game. One of my cousins has the 1914 club seats, which are basically the green seats at Busch Stadium. He's got some really nice seats there. Like, but I told him, I was like, at Christmas, I was like, dude, like, those are some nice seats, but I don't think you're going to be able to see the game.
He might be warm, though.
Exactly. Warm, free beer, free food. So it's like, it kind of pays off.
Yeah. Experience.
So again, you know, if you're listening to this, Blues fans, the night of January 2nd, we're recording a Winter Classic special podcast episode where we're going to have, right now we have four guests signed up. We have two Blues fans. We have two Blackhawks fans, all of which are going to the Winter Classic. And on January 2nd, we'll have a special podcast. We'll bring them on the show and we'll just all get together and talk about, you know, just the experience of going to a Winter Classic and, you know, what it means for hockey fans and how special it is. So if you got Blues fans that you know of, you got Blackhawks fans that you know of, you know, tell them, you know, reach out, say, you know, reach out to us at Blues Fan Base on Twitter and just say, hey, like, I'm going to the game. Can I be on your show? And, you know, just talk about, like, you know, what you experience and, you know, how special this is. So we, you know, we'd love to have you, and the more the merrier, obviously. So again, you know, Aaron, thank you again for coming on. You know, if you got any Red Wings fans or family, you know, just tell them to, you know, give us a listen, and I hope maybe we can get some other Red Wings fans on and talk about their season, you know, by the trade deadline, or maybe later in the season they make it to the playoff or something like that. But for now, thank you for listening, and don't hesitate to stop by again to eat, relax, and take a load off of life. And until the ice is clean again, we'll see you all very soon. Section 314, your favorite online.